and welcome back to But Why Though, the podcast. And today we have a special episode for you from the Austin Film Festival, where I got to sit down with Zach Lampleau and talk about his feature debut, The Vice Guide to Bigfoot. And make sure, if you're attending the festival, to check it out when it debuts October 25th. Enjoy the show. Hi, Zach.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm good.
Cool. So let's go ahead and get started. For those of you listening to this interview, I have the great pleasure of speaking with Zach Lampleau, the director and co-writer of The Vice Guide to Bigfoot. Thank you for coming on.
Absolutely. Anytime. What's going on?
I'm really excited to talk about your movie, in all honesty. I finished watching it yesterday, and I was like, oh, this is like really good.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's been like my life for the last like year.
Well, it was there's payoff, at least for viewers. I enjoyed it a lot. And I have to ask, how did the project start?
Oh man. So I guess rewind like 3 years ago, we used to run a show where we would make like 2 new shorts every month.
Mm-hmm.
So we would I'd probably directed like 70 shorts. And we would shoot them and then like play them like 2 weeks. Well, all right, 2 weeks later, it started out with us planning. Like, it started out with us being like, we'll shoot it this week, and in 3 weeks the show's happening. That'll give us time to like edit and like retool it. And by, like, the third year of doing it, it was like, just shoot it on Friday. The show's on, like, Thursday, whatever. Either over the weekend. And so we're just used to making stuff. Like, that's been our whole thing, is, like, I'm not good at, like, taking phone calls. I'm not good at, like, putting together a pitch deck or, like, that's not really my jam at all. Like, I'm just good at, like, making stuff and, like getting better at that and showing it to like a theater and everything. And we kind of got to a point where that was the new skill set, was like getting really good at taking phone calls, getting really good at like having a lunch. And we realized after like a year of just like taking really cool lunches with people that would love to someday work with us or whatever, you know? And yeah, we were like, let's just go out and just make a movie. Like, we found out it wasn't that hard to actually, like, raise money for a movie. It wasn't as difficult as you think. And so way easier than, like, being on an email chain with, like, a bunch of people trying to just basically remove the voice of the cool, like, pilot you made or the cool whatever. And, so we basically were just like, let's just make a movie and let's just make it, like, the way that we made our shorts. You know, like, we already have, like, a fun, creative voice, and let's just try and put that in, like, something that's about 90 minutes. Awesome. I forgot to mention the last, like, couple of shorts that we did while we were still running that show. We went on, like, 2 or 3 months of just, like, every short was about bites. they just have a particular like style that's easy to make fun of, and also people weren't really, this was like back in like 2016,
yeah,
people weren't really making fun of them, maybe 2017, like people and all my friends were very eager to work for them. Like, yeah. I was, like, people, whenever we made those, they were like, you can't, like, make fun of Vice, dude. Like, what if you could be on Vice? And I'm like, shut up. It's not going to happen. It doesn't matter. You know, like, so we made these shorts that were, like, one of them was with Brian, who was in the movie, but it was just about how everybody that works there looks the same. Like, everybody has glasses and a beard and, like, a button-up that's, like, short sleeves. And the whole, like, start of it was, what did he say? It was, like, it was him, like, walking around town, and he was like, I'm religious. Or, no, he said, I'm atheist, but I'm spiritual. I have tattoos, but I'm kind of a pussy. Just, like, all these contradictions. Yeah.
That's cool. I mean, because like one of the things that really comes off really well is, you know, the documentary is obviously made in, or you know, the mockumentary. It's made in a Vice style, and you all use the Vice logo. Did you have to work with Vice on any of that? And were they good sports about it?
No, no, we didn't tell anybody anything. We just went out and made this thing. I mean, it's so yeah. Like a lot of people, I don't know, want to like post about stuff. We were like, let's just not even tell anybody we're making this movie. Like we didn't even really tell anybody until it was like already over. So even our friends didn't know about it. But as far as like making fun of Vice or just, I mean. Like, I feel like a lot of their aesthetic and stuff, and, like, it's barely an aesthetic. Like, whenever, like, there was one part where I just put up the word Viceland, yeah. Like, as a logo. It's literally just, like, Helvetica New 75 on white. That shouldn't be allowed to be trademarked. Like, if I just typed out Times New Roman, and, like, it's ridiculous. You know yeah. what I mean? That, like, that you could pull that up in WordPad and be like, that's our logo. Don't do that, dude. Like, you guys should try harder. You know what I mean? Like, try harder, and then you can come after us.
So, with Vice as a start, you know, that obviously means that there are whole different, like, visual kind of mediums that you use in the film. Like, you use a YouTube border, and you have different perspectives when different people pick up the camera. How did you decide when you were going to kind of insert those pieces? So, because it flows really well from, like, perspective to perspective. How did you realize when you do that? I mean, there's a full trailer for a fake show at the end of it. So, like, how did you go about that?
Man, so I mean, I guess we just been making like spoofs forever, and I also edit. Like, I'm an editor at Adult Swim. I work on a few shows over there, and I'm like well versed in like. Let's really nail this look.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's, like, really, today we're making fun of HGTV or, like, stuff like that. And so we had done that, like, a bunch with our shorts in the past with making fun of whether it's the Food Network or Anthony Bourdain or something like that. And, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of what the answer to this question is. Like... I guess I like to, like, wrap stuff up like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really funny to me, at least, to, like, just wrap up, like, wrap it up as though it's, like, we're making fun of SNL, or, like,
yeah.
Put it in, like, a wrapper of what we're doing. And then as far as, like, all the different, like, you asked about the fake show at the end. Like, that was actually the one sequence that was animated. And, you know, we have a couple things that are animated. And I just had, like, because I've worked in Atlanta in the animation scene a little bit, like, I had built up favors with friends and stuff, so I was just like, you owe me a little guy moving, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, I just need that to be repeat. So, and then just getting clever about how to make it move very little, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, is this just enough work? Cool. Yeah.
Because actually, I think one of my favorite moments where it kind of jumps from people is when you actually put in the stock image, when Brian says, just put in stock image, from the drone,
yeah.
At the fair. I thought that worked really, really well.
Yeah, Brian wrote that. It was really funny. That was actually one of the, like, that gag made it all the way from, like, the very first outline.
Oh, that's
to, like,
awesome.
All the way through the movie. Yeah. It was good, cause, and also we just, like, obviously made up that company.
So yeah.
It's funny taking it the other way, being like, no, I shot that, but I'm going to, like, put a logo on it. Yeah.
So I also have to ask, why Bigfoot as kind of the back piece to all of this?
There had been a lot of, like, we always wanted to make, like, a horror comedy, and there had been a lot of, like, zombies that's been, like, done to death.
Yeah.
Probably, like, 25. Like, major ones.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Between, like, Zombieland, Shaun of the Dead, all this stuff. You can just go on forever about, like, whatever. And then there'd been, what else? What We Do in the Shadows had, like, done, like, vampires and kind of werewolves a little bit.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, also, like, Bigfoot's kind of overlooked. Like, it has a huge following. Way more people believe in Bigfoot than believe in vampires, for sure. I found that out making the movie. We didn't realize we knew, once we started making this, I started, like, asking around, people were like, well, yeah, I mean, like, it's kind of funny, but Bigfoot's real. Like, you don't make fun of it that much. And I was like, wait, how many people do I know that actually believe in Bigfoot? And I don't think I'd seen a Bigfoot movie where the Bigfoot is, like, real looking. I don't know. There's a lot of, like, just a guy in a suit out there. There's a lot of, like, very clearly, like, it's a dude in a suit, and they, like, put too much light on it. Yeah. So it felt like an untapped genre, you know?
Yeah. No, it's definitely unexpected too. I mean, and I don't want to go into spoilers, but the way you all kind of handle that twist is also really good, because it kind of feels like two movies a little bit. Once it gets twisty and things, you know, jump. How did you maintain, like, I guess, because there's a tonal shift, but it's not jarring, right? Like, it. I don't know how to ask that question. Sorry.
What part are you talking about? What part? I'm curious.
Yeah, so, right, it's when the guy that's leading them is doing the YouTube video, and he gets knocked out, and then you realize, okay. Oh, crap, there's actual people, and then it, and so it's still highly comedic, yeah. But, like, the perspective shifts, and the camera gets distorted, and then it turns into a Bigfoot movie, as well as a crime movie, so...
Well, I mean, we just wanted to, like, I mean, I guess we're from Georgia, and I really wanted to fold in, like, something believable.
Yeah.
You know? And it seemed like everybody for real was talking about, like, the like, fentanyl and opioid crisis.
Yeah.
Like, all the time. So I was like, well, we can, like, fold that in. And also, we, like, live here in Georgia already, so we drove to Ted, like, an hour away, and we were like, this is totally believable out here. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Like, a tonal shift between two movies.
Yeah, because I don't want it, because I don't mean it in a negative way at all. Like, it's just, it's a nice shift in, like, oh, yeah, very much satirical Vice movie, and now it's a criminal and straight Bigfoot movie, which is great, and it was really well done. And that was one of the comments I had too, is and just how much of, I guess, the dialogue was straight from the script, and how much was improv, because a lot of the interactions, even the absurd ones, feel really real. Like, Brian's frustration in a lot of the movie is, like, I feel for him.
Well, okay, so, like, a lot of people like to say it was improvised, but we wanted the script to, like, really be funny. I don't know if that came out right. We wanted to, like, have the script locked down and funny and be good on the page before filming it. So it actually wasn't as improvised as you'd think. And actually, Jeff and Brian, who were the two mains in it, actually both went to, like, acting conservatories.
Oh, okay.
We realized, like, so I realized years ago that, like, everybody that was in a short that, like, was really good, like, back when I was running that show,
yeah,
like, everybody went, it was, like, a trained actor. Like, we were like, damn, it's kind of like whenever John C. Reilly did Dr. Steve.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, how's this dude? Like, he's like an Oscar award winning actor, but he's, like, so good at being goofy. It's kind of like that. Like, we realized, we're like, oh, all these people can, like, hold their chops dramatically, and if you write something fun, like, if you write it to the circumstances funny, they can, like, really take it and go with it. But also, as, like, a director, I don't necessarily I don't police every single, like, word coming out of their mouth. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I have a rhythm, and I have lines, but if someone says, like, if I have it shut the damn door, and they just say shut the door, or like, I'm not going to be like, you know, policing every single word coming out of their mouth.
Yeah.
And then also like, I'm also like really flexible. Like, we are flexible because we made all these shorts. Like the lines where it's about like 35 minutes in where Brian keeps trying to bring up like, so probably your life fell apart because of Bigfoot and your wife left, and then Jeff keeps cutting him off. They just made that up. They were like, hey, we have a funny idea. Can we just like walk and talk, and Jeff will constantly cut me off? And I was like, yeah, sure. I think we did like two or three takes. And we were like, awesome, got it, nailed it. So it wasn't as improvised as you'd think, but also I'm open to like improvising on set too, for sure.
Awesome. Well, that's a very big credit then, you know, to you guys, because I watched it. I was like, man, I actually feel like I'm watching genuine interactions throughout. And oh my God, if I was Brian, I would want to hit somebody right now. This is so frustrating.
He has a particular, I've like hung out with him enough and like seen him get pissed off at things enough. He has a really particular, like, way of expressing himself when he's mad. And I don't know what scene you're talking about, but I remember one day he was like trying to act angry in the movie, and I was like, no, like, you get mad, like, I had to explain to him, I was like, no, you get mad at really petty things, and when you do, you just say shit over and over and over again. That's what you should do.
Yeah, it was, so
this whole thing is like,
yeah, I think like my favorite two moments are the one with the drone where he keeps trying to intro and then he keeps messing it up and he says, take the drone shot. And then the other one is when he's in the woods and he's trying to intro that and he just like gets angry and like storms off because it's not working.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're great. I mean, we basically built the movie around them because they used to be in so many of our sketches.
Yeah.
And we were like, what's a good, like, vehicle to have, like, 80% of the lines come out of both of their mouths?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For a directing standpoint, because you do show so many different different perspectives when different people get the camera, because there's very much that found footage feel, and especially at the ending of the film, it feels like a little bit, you know, like the Blair Witch a little. How did you go about directing that? Did you direct the people who had the cameras? Did you have the camera yourself? How was it setting up those shots, especially from so many different perspectives at the end?
I probably filmed like 95% of it. Like, I was probably camera operator for like 95% of the movie. But we also had another great guy, Tim Reese, who was our producer, and he was, for a lot of the more complicated shots, he would like produce it and basically DP it.
Yeah.
And then he just knew that like I knew what I wanted from the camera because I have like more of an editing background.
Yeah.
But he would be able to like set up the set so that the lights look awesome. So any way that I shoot the camera, it's going to look great. And as far as like, sorry, what was your question again about?
Just found
footage?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I had actually never directed anything found footage. Like, we were like, at first I was like always very averse to it. I was like, I would never want to do a found footage movie. But once we were like, well, we can like mash it up with Vice, and by doing Vice, you can mash it up with stoner food blogs and mash it up with like all these other, you know, hipster journalist stuff. Like, you can mash it up with other styles. We were like, okay, that could be really fun.
Yeah.
And as for, and then also when things get intense, actually like a big influence was the movie Creep. You ever seen Creep?
Oh, yes.
Netflix,
that's one of my favorite films.
Yeah. So I've been telling all my friends, I'm like, this movie to me is like Creep meets Popstar. Those are like the two for me that I was like, it's whenever the movie is scary, it's Creep. And then whenever it's funny, it's Popstar. But like a lot of people, I think it's more my age, maybe. I'm like early 30s.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people haven't seen those movies. So it's like I have to tell people, I'm like, well, no, it's like Blair Witch meets What We Do in the Shadows. Because you have to quote two hits. Even if you mean the same thing, you should say Mad Max, don't reference Waterworld. Even if they are the same aesthetic, you shouldn't be like, it's two things you've never heard of. But, yeah, no, Creep was, like, a big, I really loved Creep, and I really loved Creep 2, which I think was really funny, like, or at least, you know, I mean, when he's, like, depressed.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I've never seen, like, a depressed Hannibal Lecter. as far as the camera movement, though, and everything, for, like, a found footage, that was, like, there was one night that it was just miserable, because having to track, like, you know, this actor comes in and says something, and then the camera has to swing left. So then your next line, you have to start with the swing left, and then land on somebody else who says their next thing, and then it swings back. It was just, I'd never done that before. That's kind of a nightmare. But I figured if Birdman could do it, I could compete with Birdman. That's what I said. I was like, if Birdman can do this, I can do this myself.
Well, it all came off really well, and honestly, like, it's really cool hearing you kind of quote those two films, because I have, in fact, seen Never Stop, Never Stoppin', and I do love Creep.
Yeah,
so
yeah, great.
I can totally appreciate those references, and I can see that there.
Yeah, I think younger folks all know Popstar. I rented it, like, three times on iTunes. I think, like, you know what I mean, like, it up and pay for it. I was like, no, we're watching this time. I'm gonna pay another like $6. It's a great movie.
Yeah, we actually
wasn't like a huge hit.
Oh yeah, I can't. I'm always surprised that people don't know about it. I mean, like, we went to a convention with some friends, and we ended up coming home from a bar, and they were like, "We're gonna put on this movie." I was like, "What the hell is that?" I was like, "Oh, it's Andy Samberg." And so we rented it, and it was like, "Oh god, this is so good." And we've like watched it more since then.
Yeah, these are the things in my Jeep. I'm always showing people that. Have you heard the whole version?
I have not heard the whole version.
On YouTube?
No.
If you should Google it, because all those songs, they have like a 3-minute version, and the one, these things in my Jeep, has Chester Bennington from Linkin Park is in it.
Yeah.
Like, he does the whole, it sounds just like the Linkin Park song.
Oh, this is so good. I need it, because I know Mondo put out a vinyl for it, for the entire soundtrack, so I need to YouTube some stuff now.
Definitely.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me and stuff. I don't really know how to end. Where can people find you, and, you know, where can they check out the film?
Oh, man, where can they find me? The internet. They Google that, Glamp would all come up. And then the film, I mean, man, we have, like, a Facebook page set up, but have you seen that there's, like, a trailer up? Would you mind sharing that?
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to put up a trailer, 100%.
Or technically a teaser, I guess.
Yeah.
it's up, and I actually was, like, props again to my producer Tim. Like, I had made one that was like only okay, and then he just like hovered over me for like 2 weeks and was like, this could be way better. And then like once it was, I was like, damn Tim, this is like a real movie over here. yeah
I'll definitely put that up. Thank you for taking, you know, time out of your day to talk, and I hope you have an amazing Austin Film Festival.
Thank you very much. I hope to see you there.
Yeah, definitely.
If you're there, say hey.
Yeah, I will. Awesome. Thank you so much, Zach.